down to brass tacks. I'm working on the list from Miss P. Having difficulty finding it, but I'll find it and work on it. A few more schools to add to the good schools list. St. Leonard's Girls, Rosemary Alley went to that school. St. George Secondary, attended by persons such as Hartley Henry, who I work with across the region, Professor Henderson Carter. And Professor Ian Boxall also went to St. George Secondary. So those are two good schools. Common Mirror is still not on the list, though, for some strange reason. I'm not quite sure why Common Mirror is not yet made the list. But yeah, so these are a couple of other good ones. Dr. Brastax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, Gary, good afternoon. How
are
you doing?
How are you, man? How are you?
I'm good. I'm Peter,
shame on you. You like France so bad, I can't speak one word in France.
Well, you're French.
I am disappointed. I'm the most disgusted person to hear Miss P. Here, Miss P just mm-hmm. know had you in a lot of trouble.
But Miss P, Miss P live in Montreal, you know. Remember, Miss P's Canadian.
But Peter, Peter, you know it's good trouble about France, so I tell you, you won't come back. And for the amount of time you down there, man, you should be able to say good afternoon, Miss P, and France.
10 years. 10 years they've been coming, boy. It's a long time, it's true.
I hear you, man. But Mr. Wickham, let me and you know I normally like to hit 3 points, but let me hit 2 sharp ones here today.
Mm-hmm.
Would you? One. Why, Peter?
Mm-hmm.
You have heard of a deer called not a dying deer? Any party word?
Not a dying deer.
But Peter, let me explain myself to you. I say this to say that people die every day. Every day people die, right? That's phenomenon. We can't stop that.
Mm-hmm.
So I am saying this to say this point that I hope our Prime Minister do the right thing. We need to open up a little. Not all, but we need to go forward, Peter, a little more. You need to open up a little. We got to open up some. Because the bottom line is here. Before COVID, you lose family. I lose family. The Prime Minister lose family. Everybody die. People die. So let me bypass this dying thing. And we were all the time. When your families that die, your previous families that die, my previous families that die, the Prime Minister previous families that die, we still keep the show running.
So, but I don't understand the point you're making, though. So you're saying that what? You're saying people are dying or what? What do you mean? Oh, you mean in terms of opening back up the country?
Yes, open up something. We got to get this economy going. Yeah, need to get this economy going. We have to. We can't be locked down for much more time. Cannot.
You heard what the doctor said last time that she was on. You remember the doctor that I spoke to? We were on for a good long time. I don't know if you recall.
No, probably don't hear her.
She was basically saying that if we want to open up too soon, we are going to find ourselves in a situation where we are opening and then we have to close back because there's always closure of a business because somebody was infected or whatnot. Her argument was basically that it makes more sense to stop now, reduce the levels and start to manage it a little better than to try to continue, because we would have a situation where, like 2 weeks ago, every week a business is opening and closing back or opening and closing back. Hardware store have to close for cleaning because someone is affected and whatnot. This is a problem that is being presented, and I can kind of understand where she's coming from in that regard. Yes, we need to open back up Barbados, but we also need to be careful in terms of the steps that we are taking to open up Barbados, that we don't expose our healthcare system to too much risk. The reality is that if the doctors or if the medical professionals feel that our system is being overwhelmed, and there's a possibility that it will be overwhelmed, and we open up Barbados even more, then you create a crisis that you can't really solve. So, for example, you have space for 300 people up at St. Lucie. If you have a situation where more than 300 people are up there and you have, say, 50 ventilators and you have 200 people that need to go on ventilators, what do you do? So my sense is that there is a balancing act that has to take place. And I thought that that doctor's intervention was useful because I am closer to your side in that I think that we have to manage it and push through. But I appreciate the point that she's coming from where she's saying, look, if you go and you open up Barbados too soon and you have an outbreak, the likes of which we can't manage, and my mother and your mother get ill and need to go on ventilators, basically the system get cat spraddle.
Okay. Mr. Ellis, the stress and the anxiety and other things more will kill you, more can kill you than this COVID when you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
The stress and the
stress,
anxiety.
The stress is,
huh?
Mm-hmm. But sir, and there's a point, sir, there's a point that you gotta make, and I'm with you 100% on that. And that's also what I was talking to her about. We have had more than one person commit suicide. I don't know whether it is COVID-related
exactly.
or not. But,
exactly.
sir, I can tell you, I am now, I have a friend who is now in quarantine in Barbados, and he's going on 4 days, right? And has been speaking to the trauma. I personally was quarantined for 3 days, right? I cannot imagine what it is like to sit down in a room like that with a window for 7 days. And it is brutal. In the United Kingdom, they have not started a quarantine system, and their hotels are not as nice as ours in the sense that a lot of them don't have windows and whatnot. And you know, people are going berserk in those environments. So there's a mental stress that's being created, and I think that's the reason why I was saying just now, when you haul someone before the courts, you have to be careful that you don't throw the book at that person in such a way that you don't understand the fact that this thing has imposed some stresses on us that has not, that you can't create under normal circumstances. Somebody who's doing maid work, right? Where they work day to day and they clean houses or take care of children or whatnot. Someone like that has not been working properly for the last year and has essentially been living day to day, but the bills still come in, right? Now, if a woman like that or a man like that sneaks out to do a little work when they're not supposed to be working for these last 2 weeks, we can kill them, they can lock them up. You know, it's a human reaction, and I'm not encouraging anybody in breaking the rules, but I also understand at a level. So I'm saying your point is important. You have to stress that, look, there's a mental component to this. And sir, I think this is going to drive people crazy if they go on any longer.
It's going to, it is
rough.
Stress.
Right?
But
and I can tell you, I can tell you that here in France, the schools have remained open, even though the vast majority of them have closed down for a week or two at different points in time because there's been an outbreak of infection. But the government has taken the decision to leave the schools open, even though everywhere else is closed. And a big part of the reason is the stress associated with the fact that the schools are closed and children are home and people are working from home or whatnot. They're basically saying that it's just too much to handle, you know?
Yes.
So I say that
I hope that Miss Prime Minister made the right step by just like she don't gotta jump too big. She don't gotta jump too big. But come on, she gotta make a creep and don't listen to these. I mean, science got to listen to experts, but sometimes this expert information sometimes could be detrimental to you.
I hear you, and I can tell you that my impression when I listen to Prime Minister Motley is that she's closer to your side and my side than she is to the other side.
Yes.
And I feel that to get her to the point of a second lockdown, I imagine it must have been a struggle. Because when I listened to her language before, it was clear to me that she understood that the costs of this are tremendous, and it's not
150 million over 150 million. Then she got the IMF to pay the big tons. Then she got the lot of money to pay China that she borrowed. Oh, come on, we gotta make a jump. You got to make a jump. My second point, Mr. Vickam, my next point.
Where you at school, though, sir?
Where you at school? Believe me, I'm a Harrison College fellow. I'm not a Combermere fellow. I went to school at Proudly St. Leonard's School.
Yeah, I know. It's ironic because that's the next one that somebody just added to the list.
Yeah. And let me tell you, Mr. Vickam, it brought up some bright guys. Brought up some good.
But I don't doubt that. You know, Rosemary Annie went to St. Leonard's Girls, right?
She went to school with me.
She went to school with you?
Both her and her sister, Sandra. Yeah. We both went to school together there. Right?
Did you go to Goodland before that?
I know you was at in my sister class at Goodland, at Eagle Harbor.
At Goodland, okay. My sister, so you were at Eagle Harbor.
My sister Zuka's friend. You was there in the hands of Miss McAllister.
Yeah. I remember Miss McAllister.
I was a notch up above you and my sister. But you were in my sister class. Right. My sister was in the same class. But
good lineage.
Yes. But let me move on to my next point. Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Rastafarianism, with due respect, I think your words that you used towards the Rastafarianism, I don't know if you get carried away. Your words was a bit harsh when you turn around and say to the Rastafarianism, well, if they don't want to take the vaccine, they could go and live up in the hills. You know, when I read that article, I wonder if Peter get carried away, if something anger him, and so on. We got to be careful with religion. I think we as people need to respect people's religions. We need to learn to. There are religions that I don't like, but I'm not going to come out and say I don't like it. You know, I should be able to also criticize your religion. So you be able to criticize my religion, but in a diplomatic way. You remember in the 80s, Peter, you remember the 80s, what happened in Iran? With the Shah Iran, Ayatollah Khomeini, you remember when he... remember when he offered $1 million for the British author who wrote the book?
Salman Rushdie.
About the book called The Satanic Works. Yeah. You remember he offered $1 million for anyone who can bring his head to him? Total foolishness. I believe we should respect one another religion. I believe we can criticize one of the religions in a diplomatic way. Don't be too hard. In a diplomatic way.
Sir, we don't even have to go back to the 1980s and the Salman Rushdie incident. I can tell you about an incident that occurred last year in France where a teacher was beheaded because the teacher taught short pictures that were a cartoon, basically, of the Prophet Muhammad. Yeah. And Muslim parents decided that he should be beheaded, and as a result, he was beheaded. Yeah. And they have now passed legislation in France to deal with that issue. So I'm familiar with it. Honestly, I never thought of myself as a person who was intolerant to religions because I don't believe that you can identify any single incident on the radio where I have said anything other than the most progressive things about all religions. I'm not a believer.
Yeah.
I have no interest in Rastafari, Hindu, Muslim, Christianity, or any of them. But certainly, I have never spoken disparagingly of any of those religions. And I think it's unfortunate that you feel that way. I have said, sir, before, and I'm going to say it to you now, that the comment that I made on the radio was a loose comment. And it was made in response to two bits of information. One that said by Ras Simba, in which he said that vulnerable members of the society will exclude themselves from the public to minimize risk. And the other comment was said that they want access to ganja as part of their health regime to help them deal with COVID. So those two statements, one, remove ourselves from society, and the second one, they want access to ganja to help with COVID, suggested to me that there were Rastafarians who felt they were better off smoking the ganja and staying away from society. All I said is that if that was what they wanted to do in preference, that was their right. Sir, I have never intended to offend, and I thought that last week on the radio, I gave a full explanation of what I said. I put it in context, and I think the unfortunate thing is that the comment was taken entirely out of context and presented in the public domain to make me look like a bigot. And sir, that is the last thing that I would want to do, because I quoted articles last week where I spoke in support of Rastafari, the right to religious beliefs as expressed in the school situation, the right to access the ganja in terms of the work I have done for the Ganja Commission. So the idea that Peter Wickham is opposed to Rastafari is a preposterous one, because I am not. All I'm saying, and all I said, was that if there are Rastafarians that believe that they should not take a COVID vaccine and that they should use a health regime, as identified in the article by Marlon Madden that was in the Barbados Today, in which they said to strengthen themselves against the COVID-19, they wanted to seek access to ganja. What am I supposed to say? Sir, if that's what you want, do that as your right. No? You gone? Okay, sorry, Dennis told me that we have to take a break. So anyhow, sir, thanks for calling and giving me the opportunity to present my side of that issue. That's it, Dr. Brastas. I found the information from Ms. P, so I'm going to sort that out. I have a couple more names that we need to add to the list of good schools. We have West St. Joseph, which is now known as Grantley Adams Memorial. Pat tells me that that is also to be added to the list of good schools, along with Ellerslie Secondary. Smiley Bailey, David Ellis, and the professor Barito attended Ellerslie. So that is also a good school. Washington High School and Modern High School and Robert Secondary are also to be added to the list. Certainly, Washington and Modern would be schools that are known to persons who are probably older than 70 years old, like Dennis. But younger persons like us wouldn't know of those schools. But they were good schools in the time. Robert Secondary is also no longer around. I believe the building is still there, but I'm not quite sure what's the situation. But persons who would have attended Robert and then subsequently went on to other schools after Robert was closed unceremoniously, sadly, would want me to add that to the list. So the list is growing, and I think this is quite good because it tells me something very important, which I'll say at the end. Dr. Brastax, good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I'm hearing you well. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. And yourself?
Not too bad.
Good. First of all, I just want to say not only a good farewell to David Ellis, and I wish him happy, blessed retirement. Also, keep up the good work, Dennis Johnson, and other news anchor guys have been in the business for some length of time. That Steps and Bob will be included in that group. Mm-hmm. And there are more as well. Yeah. They all have done an excellent job over the years in bringing the news and seeking the truth for the people. Speaking of the truth, I heard a caller earlier. You had said that the President Mayor Motley, she always tells the truth. You remember there was a paper, I don't know if you would know about this or if you had done history, but it was a paper called The Truth. It was owned by the DLP. There was a former minister of that ran the House of Assembly, Burton Hines. Do you remember him?
That's right, yeah, I do.
Right, good. And do you also remember that the DLP had a paper called The Truth?
The Truth, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, good. Right. So that is interesting that one comment basically on this issue with bringing people to the court pertaining to the breaking of the protocols. Now, mm-hmm. I have a slight problem with what the well-known lawyer for the Queen's Counsel was saying in the news edition earlier. And I would say why I have that slight problem with him. Now, whilst one can appreciate the mental and psychological impact it would have on people going to the court, whereas you have a hardened criminal that will have gone to the court, go through the due process, and be convicted of whatever crime they have done, he or she. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. my question to you before I go any further is this. Do you see it right that a person has been warned more than once? They've been warned, they've been given chances, but yet they still willfully break the protocols, and part two of that question to you Mr. Wickham, is that this case in question, I don't want
making. No, I've already said to you that I am comfortable with Andrew Pilgrim's position. I do not believe you should lock up someone pending sentencing. Right? That's my view. I don't feel that you should lock them up for a COVID-related matter, and I don't believe that you should lock up a person pending sentencing. And that's essentially what Andrew has argued, and that's essentially what the court has agreed. So
yeah,
I don't know that we need to pursue
it
any further.
In one way, I understand your point. Don't get me wrong. I understand your point. In one way, I do. I really, truly do. You understand? But you have to also weigh out everything. People are honestly not really adhering to the protocol. You would have heard Ronald Chapman already say on TV that his job is not to, he don't want to be hauling people off the court. His job is not to put them in the brass knuckle and carry them across the courtyard and make them look shame. That's not his job. His job is to not only save them from themselves, but also protect others. You're protecting and protect others. But if you are giving people, as the Bayesian adage would say, you give them an inch and a tick in 2 months. I'm sure a lot of them can't wait till this lockdown is over. Right? Because they're going to be like, they're in prison and they're run out and they get well. No. The other point that the gentleman would have made before, a gentleman that had made a call earlier pertaining to the lockdown and that the Prime Minister should give it ease. And I find all kind of people want this happen. They want this extended. These people don't seem to understand the seriousness of this coronavirus.
Sir, look, I'm gonna stop you there. We have 4 minutes on the program, and there are a couple other people I want to get on, and I will just say, look, you have expressed your view. I disagree with you, sir. I think that the arm of the law has been too heavy-handed. You personally think that the hand of the law has been justified. Sir, we can agree to disagree. That's what this program is about. But, you know, it doesn't really make sense hammering on at the issue because in the final analysis, you're not saying anything that anyone hasn't said before in the program. And I guess I don't need to repeat myself either. All right. So we are 57 minutes past the hour of 57 minutes past the hour of one. I want to take a last call, but I want to add a few more schools to the list. This is an interesting list because in addition to Washington High School and Modern High School, we also have the Industry School, which I believe was in St. Philip and is now closed. And the Industry School was also a list of schools that were good. Roebuck Secondary, I mentioned, Frederick Smith, which is now St. James Secondary, should be added to the list. I think in the important point, though, about this list, and I love how the list has grown so much over the course of this program. It tells me that in the final analysis, every single school in Barbados can be a good school because I have had people messaging me over the time I've been on the air and telling me, I went to this school, I thought it was a good school. And I think that's great. So this theory that we can have 21 secondary schools and all can be good schools is something that I agree with entirely. So this idea that, you know, there's only certain schools that can be good schools, I can't see it. Final WhatsApp. Peter, I fully support what you said. I don't see how you can be seen as anti-religious. You certainly have been a strong proponent. If we can get to the level of vaccination that we need in order for the country to be open, then certainly we should do that. Once that is done, society can move on. I feel that people are better not taking the vaccine and not interacting with society, then that certainly should be their prerogative. And that is a comment that came from someone who doesn't want to be identified. I want to thank everyone for the participation in the program. We had a good program today. Dennis Johnson, thanks so much. Everyone, please ensure that you join us tomorrow at 10 o'clock for David Ellis' farewell program, where we'll all be there to say goodbye to David Ellis. Take care and see you next week.